Hey everybody, welcome to the Snapcast. I'm Bobby.
I'm Alex.
I'm Rob.
And I'm Chris.
All right, so today we're going to start off with some kind of casual talk for a while, and then we're going to get into talking about the stack. Just in regards to rules, how to familiarize yourself with it, things like that. Then after the break, we're going to come back and talk a little bit about some of the recent changes to support for Legacy, how we think that's going to affect it, and where we see it going in the future. So, Alex, welcome back, the journeyman. How have your travels been?
The travels were good. The tournaments were hit and miss. At GP Indy, I didn't do so good. Mostly deck selection. I was kind of dumb on that one.
I mean, it happens.
Yeah. Like, I thought I had enough experience with the deck, and I did. I ran it at two PPTQs the weekend before and top four both, so I thought that was enough. But I didn't look into the mana base enough, and it cost me a lot of games.
Yeah. What did you run at that one?
That was four-color rally.
Oh, yeah, that's right. So, since we've last talked, you've done two GPs, right?
GP and an open, because then I went to the open in Philly, where I got top 64 on that one. But I ran a smarter deck and ran Esper tokens like I should have
in Indy,
because black-white's my jam. But
you know, what are you going to do?
Yeah, hindsight.
They're both standard, right?
Correct.
Yeah, so, I mean, we haven't had Alex in a while, because, I mean, between the audio problems and then him, yeah, out on the road... But now we're all back here. We don't have Jerry today. It's the original four. What have you guys been playing recently? I think we've mostly been playing Modern around here.
Magic Online.
Oh, yeah? How's that been going?
It's been going pretty well. Again, just it's almost like states. Every once in a while, you'll run up against a good deck, and then it's like, what is this?
Yeah, Sea of Craziness.
Yeah. It's. But I've been running the same thing. I've been trying out that Infect with Tamura Battle Rage.
Oh, nice.
It's been going well. Trample. I'm really loving it, and I'm going to stick to it.
Nice. Fair enough. Awesome. Yeah, Magic Online, like, I love it and hate it. I wish I had more time to put into it, because it definitely seems like good testing grounds. But have you been doing, like, the eight mans, or...
No, I just go in. I don't have time to dedicate for eight mans. Yeah, I get off of work shortly after midnight.
Yeah, the two mans are a shit show.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, you never know what you're going to run into. I feel like every week I see a new, like, modern budget Magic Online deck. Some weird, all over the place. All right, what about you, Chris? What have you been doing lately?
I've been playing mostly Modern. You know, we went to a local event, played some Boggles there, and then you guys have seen me posting in the chat. I'm gonna put some Modern Elves together. Hope it just really shores up my Legacy game, since I play Legacy Elves. Just something to help blend back and forth, and hopefully one feeds the other.
Yeah, I can dig it. No, I definitely think the Elves Modern list is pretty cool. I'm surprised you don't see it more so than we do now, but... I'll definitely be interested to see how that goes for you. I've been playing that new Scapeshift list. Got one tournament of the belt with it so far, and I like it a lot. So I'm pretty excited to try that
Bring
out
the
some
light
more.
Version.
Yeah. Maybe next week we'll post the list on the website. I don't want to share it just yet, because I still need to fill it out a little bit more. Make sure it's better than just standard Scapeshift.
But right.
Feeling pretty good so far. But all right, so let's talk about the stack zone. Now, this was an idea that Rob had for the cast, so if this doesn't go well, it's all his fault.
No.
I blame Rob already.
Like always. Yeah, everything's always Rob's fault.
You're not getting your Bears cap.
Oh, man.
It's staying in the car. So really, the stack, it's kind of funny when Rob mentioned the idea, because it was something that I feel like I've been dealing with so long now that it was obvious, but I forget that really is a big, like, when you're getting into competitive Magic, that's a lot of, like, one thing a lot of people have to learn. So, do you guys remember any instances where your game was messed up because you didn't know the stack properly, or you got someone else?
Rally has a lot of hard interactions that, like, I've seen people mess up lately, because Rally's really been popular. But when you Rally, there's a lot of triggers that go on the stack at the same time. You get all your Elvish Visionaries, you get your Sidisi Faithful Exploits, then with that you get your Liliana flips and things like that. And I see a lot of people try to shortcut, like, oh, I'm going to draw a card from this, exploit this, flip Liliana. Well, Liliana, like, there's things that still have to go on before you can, like, there's so many things on the stack. They try to resolve something out of the middle, and you're like, no, you're skipping over things. You can't do this yet. Like,
yeah, you got to go down the list. I mean, definitely, like, I always love playing against tight technical players who really make sure everyone's aware of what's on the stack, when things are going on the stack, and when we're resolving things. Because, I mean, so the basics of the stack, for anyone who there's probably a lot of players out there who have a good knowledge of how it works, but they don't know the like the mechanics behind it, if that makes sense. Like, they've gone through the process so many times that they know if they do this, then it works out this way, but they don't really know why.
Right.
So first in, first out, that's the pretty much the golden rule of the stack.
Yep.
As things get layered on, you resolve, you know, in reverse order of when they're added to the stack. The biggest thing really is just being clear with your opponent and knowing when you're adding things.
Yep.
And knowing how things are going to interact. I think one of my favorite from previous standard was the Ashiok with Perilous Vault.
Yep.
Where basically what you could do is, if you had a Perilous Vault already on the field and an Ashiok, you could minus X Ashiok to put a creature into play, assuming you'd already exiled one with them.
Right.
And then with that on the stack, respond to it by activating the Perilous Vault. So then, since it's reverse order, Perilous Vault resolves first, clears the board, gets rid of your Ashiok, gets rid of all the creatures and whatnot, and then the Ashiok trigger resolves, so you're left with whatever that creature was.
Right.
So, I mean, you know, it's kind of one of those things where if you have to crack the vault, you got to pull the trigger there, you at least get a creature left behind out of it. And yeah, I mean, if you flip that backwards, then, yeah, you know, you lose the creature too. So, yep. I mean, really...
And one of the biggest things I found too is like, people will like cast multiple things. I'm like, all right, how are you putting on the stack? And they're like, I want this one to resolve first. I'm like, okay, how are you putting it on the stack?
Yeah.
Like, they're just like, no, this one's going to resolve first. Like,
okay, but
like when it resolves, it puts its trigger on the stack. Like that, sure, it resolves first, but there's other things that have to happen here.
Yeah. Like, yeah. I mean, and one like is like when things are added to the stack, like
Modern,
there's tons of that with like Deceiver Exarchs.
Yep.
If someone says, okay, so I'm casting Deceiver Exarch, and if you ask what the target is for the enter the battlefield, well, then that means you've let it resolve.
Right.
That means the Deceiver is resolved and the creature's there on the field now. Yep. So you need to be clear about what you want to do there. You can't ask them what the target is for that before you've let it resolve.
Yeah, in other words, I, like all the time, people are like, what's the target? I'm like, that. And they're like, counterspell. I'm like, nope.
Nope.
Yeah, we're past the window. This.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You've shortcutted ahead of that. So yep.
You let me pick a target. It's done.
So yeah, so any enter the battlefield, I mean, it's really important to remember, like, so when you cast Deceiver Exarch, you're casting the card. Mm. Both players get priority. Then it resolves. Then you put the enter the battlefield trigger on the stack. Then both players can resolve or respond then as well. So if you shortcut too far ahead, then yeah, you've skipped everything that happens in between.
Yep.
And then like you still have a chance to respond, like the classic Deceiver resolves. I'm going to tap down that land. In response, I'm going to float a mana with that land.
Yep.
And that's a fine play, but only do it if you're sure you want it to resolve.
Yep.
Yeah, I almost punted a game with the Snapcaster Mage. Let it come in, resolve, before I let him pick his target from the graveyard. Just not thinking in a hurry up, in a rush to win, I play Searing Blaze.
Oh, yeah, I remember that game.
He targets a Dispel or, you know, just a cheap one-mana counterspell.
And, yeah.
I mean, I still got one damage, but it could have been the difference of... If he would have picked something else, if I'd have let him pick his target, I could have just won.
Yeah,
he may have picked a Serum Visions or something if it was his turn, or you don't know what he was going after there, but yeah, he kind of jumped to the trigger to have a creature to target.
Yeah.
And another interaction on that is Skews and Snapcaster. Yep. So like, somebody targets something with Skews, so in response you Snapcaster in, then they Skews the same thing again, and like, Skews interactions are really weird too, because if you mess it up and like, target the same thing again... Or like Flashback especially, if they're like, oh, I'm casting this with Flashback, and they're like, oh, excuse it. Like, no, it's gone. It's not in the graveyard. Yeah. It's an illegal target. And that's actually a games rule violation.
Wow.
If a judge gets called, if you try to excuse something that's not actually in the graveyard.
Yeah.
Like, it's an invalid target, and you just can't. It's a games rule violation. But like, things like that get complicated in other formats.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, even with, I remember Interaction asking... I remand something. I was actually playing against Rob. So I remand something.
Yeah.
He responds. At that point, can I Snapcaster targeting that remand? And yeah, it's no, you can't because it's not in the graveyard yet. It's still in the stack.
Yep.
So yeah, the stack is kind of like this weird game. Would you call it a game zone?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if that's the official, but I mean, that's essentially what's going on, where it's kind of this limbo that they're held in until they resolve. So they're not yet in the graveyard. They're not in your hand anymore. I mean,
not in play if it's a
not
permanent.
In play. Yeah. Yeah, so, I mean, another one, like, I had on here was a pretty basic example, but it's just the scenario of, like, I mean, I used to love instances of like with burn and control last standard where you have a Sphinx's Revelation, they have burn spells, you're at like two or three life, and you've got to sit here and play this game of like, okay, they're gonna try to, I need them to burn me first, so that way in response I can Sphinx's Rev
and hope they don't have a
and
second
hope they don't have a skull crack or other burn to result or to respond with. So I mean, you got to remember that, like, if you can get the win on the stack last, then it's going to happen before anything else resolves, so you're in the clear.
And then also with this to look at is certain like abilities. Like for example, in standard, there's two abilities that go on the stack to have effects, like Tasker and Exploit, for example. So if a person puts a Tasker activation on the stack, in response you kill Tasker, the Tasker activation still happens. They mill two and they get a card back, usually the Tasker. But Exploit, however, the creature has to be in play for the Exploit trigger to work. So they put the Exploit trigger on the stack and you're like, sure, and then you kill it, you know, and then Exploit happens. Well, nothing happens. Like if they still sack the creature, but now they lose two creatures for no value.
Yeah. I mean, it's similar to like Pelucranus, right? With his monstrous ability. Yeah. So there are like, it depends on what is it in the wording that dictates whether or not the creature still has to be.
I don't remember.
Okay. Because I know, maybe we'll have to check that out. Because I know there's something with the wording where if it references that the creature does it or something along those lines, like, then yeah, if it's not on the battlefield anymore, then you just lose that ability.
Yeah.
Because that's how Pelucranus is worded, is it deals X damage. X number of creatures divided as you choose. Yeah. And then they deal damage equal to their strength to Pelucranus.
Yeah. Yeah, so I mean, that's like, it's just these small interactions that can win or lose a game. I mean, just knowing, like I said, I think the biggest thing is being clear and understanding when you get priority in all this. Because when you cast a spell, active player, then non-active player gets priority. And you get priority as each spell resolves off the stack. So you can even let, like, if you have a counter war going on or something like that, you can let a few resolve off the stack before you target the original, like, card you're fighting over.
The biggest one with that is remand.
Yeah.
Like when you're in a remand war in modern and they're remanding your remand, you're like, sure, yours is going to resolve. Remand's back in my hand. Now I'm going to re-remand the original.
Or even like the trick of remanding your own spell in response to a counter to get it back in your hand and draw a card. Yeah. I mean, so it's taking your time and resolving things off the stack. I mean, I know Infect Rob is another one where you get these kind of intense like spell battles going on.
Yeah. The biggest one is with Become Immense. Like you were saying earlier, when you get into a Mutagenic Growth or a Mod of Old Crows of Fight and the guy's trying to bolt your Glistener Elf or whatever, you have to remember that those spells that you have cast that are on the stack aren't in your graveyard and you can't use them to delve.
Yeah. Right?
And that's the biggest thing I've seen people mess up before, because they're like, oh, I want to delve these. And it's like, no, they're still on the stack. They haven't resolved.
Yeah. Or even relying on having them, like, okay, I'm going to do this, and then I can become immense. And then someone responds to one and like, well, now I'm stuck. I can't. Yeah,
right.
Yeah, I can't use them anymore. They're not there yet. Yeah, I mean, like I said, I think being clear about it and thinking about it, like all things in Magic, I mean, that's really what's going to clean that part of your game up. But that's one of the things I love about the game, is there's probably infinite possibilities of weird stack interactions you can come with. I mean, I know Spellskite's a big one in Modern too. Yeah. Where redirecting things to Spellskite is kind of an oddity, where you can redirect way more damage than he can even take and survive. But as long as you keep doing them all before any resolve, they're all going to go to him.
Yep.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of any other like crazy examples I've seen, because I know I've seen tons more.
Yeah. Not really for like that. I mean, a little bit with getting things that don't use the stack. Things like playing land trips people up, especially like, now that we have lands that have effects again, they were in standard for a little bit, like obviously Scribe, and you know, not as big, but like the ones that pump now that give +1/+1, like you can't respond to them playing the land, but the land trigger has to go on the stack of the pump and you can respond to that. Like, but the lands itself just don't use the stack. Like you hold priority and play a land.
Yeah.
And same with Planeswalkers.
Yeah.
At the beginning of your main phase, you have priority to activate a Planeswalker. Like as soon as you play the Planeswalker, you have priority. But if you do anything else, then your opponent can kill it before you activate it. Like if, for example, you play a Planeswalker, but you have two in play. So you're like, oh, I'm going to play Sorin, but I want to plus my Gideon first to get like a thing from it. They can respond and kill the Sorin, and now, oh, I don't even get to use it.
No, you don't get the activation. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's the same as like with, well, not the same, but similar right. to Sarkin, the all red Sarkin, the newer all red Sarkin.
Dragon Speaker.
That if you have something like, because he becomes an indestructible dragon,
yes,
right?
Yes.
So when he comes on the field, he ticks up and becomes an indestructible dragon, but you can respond to that trigger and Heroes Downfall him as right. a planeswalker still. Yep. Yeah, so it's like little tricks like that where you get windows from time to time. I mean, same with some of the different creatures. You have different abilities when they come into the battlefield. You can scoop them out before they resolve. But yeah, no, Planeswalkers is a good one. I mean, I've seen that mistake tons of times. And especially I hate when I'm sitting across the table from it and I don't have the downfall in hand.
Punish
I'm like,
them for
oh,
it.
This would be so good right now if I had it, because they just completely messed the sequencing all up. And I mean, that's another big one that ties into the stack is sequencing. It's just like... Like Alex said, like if you have a Gideon on the field already that you know you're going to want to plus and it doesn't affect the Sorin, then plus him before you cast the Sorin.
Or even like inside of combat, I've seen many people forget, like they plus a Sorin and then activate a main land.
Yeah.
Or then activate the Gideon and oh, guess what? This one doesn't have
leaving
that.
Damage on the table. Yeah, that's funny. I've seen that on camera a lot, actually, from some pretty good players. And yeah, it's just, I mean, it's kind of getting away from it, but that's always a good note of like, have your whole game plan ready before you do it and know how things are going to resolve and in which order before you get in the middle of it.
Right.
Figure that out beforehand.
Like,
but
I do a lot of that on my opponent's turn. Like I plan out the sequencing for my turn while they're doing something. If they play something that affects me, I change my game plan. But for the most part, I'm already like, all right, on my turn, I'm doing this in this order. Like, don't mess it up. Like,
yeah, for the most part, you kind of know what they're going to do. Like, two mana, he's going to cast a Goyf and then pass to me. And then I'm going to, and then, yep, there's the Goyf. Or it's another creature that's pretty much the same. Like, all right, that's fine.
One to talk about for the stack is the end of turn cleanup.
Yes. Oh, that's a great point. Yeah.
Yeah. Because, like, once a player moves to cleanup and discards the card, the turn is over. There is no more actions.
No
that
chance
can,
to respond. Yeah. Priority.
Yep. So if you want to, like, bolt them into turn or crack a fetch end of turn, like especially big right now with Evolving Wilds, because it comes in play tapped. You mess it up, it's tapped on your turn. Yeah, you want to do it at the end of their turn, but if they discard a card, like that's it.
Yep,
like you can't. Your land's tapped for next turn. Good job.
Yeah, and as a player, I mean that's something I've moved to now, where instead of saying, you know, say go or pass turn or whatever, I'll just say move to cleanup, because a lot of people say okay, and then they'll say, and then I want to. You missed your chance, buddy. Yeah. And I know that someone caught me on that when I was newer to Modern. And yeah, I mean, that's a great lesson to learn, and it's not a bad trick to use on your opponents. I mean, I know some people think it's kind of like scummy or whatever, but
if you think they're going to bolt you to turn, say game move rules. To clean up.
Yeah.
And then if
move
they're
to
like,
clean
sure.
up, and if they say
like,
sure, then yeah, you're good to go. Now
even if
turn.
You have like six cards in hand, I'm cleaning up. Yeah. Like it's a step. Like we hit it. We just skip over it most times unless I have eight cards in my hand. Like,
yeah, no, it's funny how many steps are in there. I mean, it's the same as like double strike.
Right.
Like when there's always a double strike phase, it's just, it only matters if there's a creature. Well, first strike, I guess is better to say. So like when you move to combat, one of the steps is the first strike damage phase where creatures with first strike deal damage and you can respond after that too. Yeah.
Especially in black white, I've done it a couple times against like first strikers to double strikes where I'm short a card for murderous cut. Mm-hmm. But I'm like, oh, I'm going to chump block this first striker. Mm-hmm. So when it deals first strike damage, I can catch
it'll go to the yard.
I can catch something else before normal damage.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, that's a good way to use that.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I mean, the biggest thing is like, and actually the fat packs, I was looking through it the other day, and one of the contents that's in it is like a nice little like phase of all the turns, all the parts of the turn and all of that. And I think it might have even said when you get priority, which is a good one to know, because there's a lot of players that, I mean, it's like, I'll be in the middle of my main phase and like, all right, bolt you. I'm like, well, you don't have priority here. Like, I don't, you can't do stuff right now.
You
I don't
can't
know.
Just willy-nilly fire stuff off.
Like, you know, you could pretty much do it. There's lots of opportunities in my turn, so I get it. I get what you're trying to do, but like, I need to either do something or move to end a step.
Yeah.
And I mean, like we've talked about before, but with shortcutting, like if your opponent says move to combat, you're still in the clear to say, wait, no, at the end of your main. Because, and the reason why we say at the end of the main is that's when you get priority again.
Right.
Yeah, it's not this weird, like...
It's very big on the wording you use. Because, like, you may know your opponent, maybe he's newer. He's just going to normal tabletop Magic. But, I mean, when you start hitting the competitive scene, knowing when and where you want to hit is super important. So that's where... Like, you may understand the phases, but your wording as, you know, at the end of this, at the end of that, I want to do this. That way, if I'm sitting across from you and I don't go, main phase, I want to do this. Well, Alex could just call a judge and be like, I don't know what he's trying to do, but I still have priority.
Yeah,
an example of this is a friend of mine. We were at the Invitational in New Jersey. We were in the Legacy part, and he was playing smallpox. And he's known for playing smallpox. And the way that deck really wins is Mishra's Factory. You activate him to get hits in after they have no lands or no creatures and things like that. So what happened was he smallpoxed his opponent. His opponent floated white mana, obviously for Swords to Plowshare, right? So to play around it, because he had a Mishra's Factory that he wanted to fire up and attack with, he said move to combat, which is a very common term we all use, move to combat. His opponent's like, you know, to empty the mana phase. At the end of the change of the phase, his opponent's like, sure. And he's like, activate Mishra's Factory and attack. He's like, no, when we say move to combat, that's actually declare attackers. Mishra's Factory is not active as an attacker during this phase yet. So there's no attackers, and like judges got called and ruled in the favor because that's how it is. And it's different from Moto too, because on Moto there is like a little phase in there where like
entering combat.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's not a real phase in Paper Magic, in case you didn't know.
Wow, yeah, I actually didn't know that. That's funny. We'll have to look into that because I really thought you could.
Moto is slightly different than Paper Magic.
Yeah.
That's caught many of people. And you can't get that little interaction there the way you want it to sometimes. Yeah.
But I mean, that is a good. So that's a good point too, though. Is at the end of every phase, if anyone's unfamiliar with that, your mana pool does empty. So, say that this person instead needed to cast a sorcery and their opponent floated mana for a counter spell, you can move to main two and just burp, that mana's gone.
True statement.
Yeah, but I mean, so yeah, it's really like, I mean, the best part about it is you make a mistake, you get caught on something like this. Usually, that's a huge learning point. And much like Ronda Rousey, you know that you need to tighten your game up.
True statement.
Topical references. Yeah. But killing it. But yeah, so I mean, it's okay to make these mistakes. It's going to happen. But like, there's tons of websites that have some pretty sweet infographics and charts. You can pretty much just Google, when do I get priority? And if you're unsure, you can go through and look at all those different checkpoints, because it's good to know and it's good to understand, like, instant doesn't mean you can just do it during their turn whenever. There's certain points where you can hit, and sometimes the point that you hit determines like everything. It can change the whole matchup. And I mean, but as far as the stacks resolve though, I mean, it's good to know what order things are going in. It's good to have a clean, crisp stack. I hate when people are just kind of willy-nilly throwing things on the stack. It's unsure of which order things are going in, because some of those can be super important.
Usually a pile forms in the middle of the table, like above creatures, in between each other's creatures. You just have a line of spells and counter wars. Like, this is that. Like,
well, it gets even tougher when, like, if it's not a card from your hand, it's like an activated ability you're throwing on the stack. Because if you're not clear, then who knows what order these things are in.
Yep.
And I mean, especially like with the flip walkers, those make tons of interesting scenarios now.
Yeah.
Because when they flip, that's an activated, but it's part of resolving the ability on the card. So like with Jace, if you tap and you let him begin to loot, you don't get priority again until he's a planeswalker already.
True statement.
Which feels kind of odd, because most cards that interact similar to that, it's like maybe two triggers but it's different with every card. I mean, it's like similar to like Huntmaster of the Fells has some weird oddities with him with the way he flips.
Especially blinking in with like Resto and things like that. Yeah. When he's a new one and hasn't seen a spell, so he flips where you normally think he wouldn't and things like that. Another one, oh, I want to hit it real quick, is know your wording. Like, a big one is Vendilion Click. Like, you can't just say, like, in your upkeep, click you. Like, most people do to shortcut and things like that, but you have to be specific. Like, either, like, in response to, before we move to draw, like, because you have to know where your priority shift is.
Yeah.
Like, this is when I can actually play it.
Yeah. End of draw step, end of upkeep. Yeah, whenever you want to hit it. End of draw step is probably the most popular.
Yeah.
Yeah, and be clear with, like, who you're targeting with your triggers, things like that, because click is a weird one, too, where, like, it's not a bad play to click yourself sometimes. But, yeah, I mean, like Alex said, like, wording is super key. Don't just say, I'm going to do this thing. Don't just say, like, be sure of when. And usually, like, most of the time, if you say you're doing something and your opponent says, okay, at this part, usually you want to say no. Usually they're walking you into something, or don't let them suggest where it's happening. Know your stuff, do the work so you know when you need it to happen.
Also, don't shortcut. Like, there's times to shortcut and there's times to not. Like, I taught a guy a lesson at the last local modern thing we did. He had a Skooz out, and he was wanting to target some of my spells because I have Snapcaster, because I was running Twin. So he had a, one of the filter lanes. So you filter to make two green and just put two activations on the stack. I'm like, well, a bolt in response. Yeah. Like, and you're not going to get the counters out of this to get it above bolt range because you put them on the stack at the same time.
Yeah. 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 Whereas, yeah, you could have one activation, yep, response bolt, another. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's, I mean, like you said, yeah, that's probably one of the biggest things I see, especially with fetch lands. Like, it doesn't happen often, but Shadow of Doubt's a card. And I've sat next to a guy who was like, all right, crack these two fetch lands in response Shadow of Doubt. Oh, geez. Yep. Yeah. Just got wrecked. But take your time. Do your activations one at a time. Obviously, if you're playing with friends or if you're playing smaller events, this isn't. But you should do it at first just to get in the habit.
Yeah, you have to get in the habit somewhere.
Yeah, but you know, once you're familiar with it, it's fine. But don't. There's a lot of people who the shortcut is the rule to them in their mind. Like, they've only ever shortcutted. Their friends only ever shortcut. So to them, that's just how it works. And all of those people are going to have a rude awakening during, you know, a PPTQ or something. And,
get a judge call because you're, you know, rules violations and like,
yeah, something sketchy or something was done out of order when you didn't have priority, things like that. Yeah. But all right, I think that just about does it for the stack. It's kind of a tough topic to talk about in retrospect. Like, once you fully understand it, it's weird to go back and dive into it. So we may have left something critical out. We may have not touched on something. So if anyone has any questions, definitely reach out. I mean, that applies to everything. That's always an open invitation. But but if you have any stack questions, if you have any weird scenarios, send them to us and we'll take a look for you. All right, but we are going to take a quick break. And when we get back, we'll talk about the state of Legacy. Hey, guys. I got a quick unfortunate note here in the interim. Unfortunately, Alex's mic was not connected for the second part. I'm not sure why it wasn't recording, but for whatever reason, for the majority of the second half, Alex is missing. So we've gone through and we've cut out like the bits where Alex was speaking for long periods of times and kind of stapled them together. So you hear some awkward shifts, awkward cadence changes, things like that from time to time. But for the most part, it's pretty listenable. So please enjoy what's left of it. Sorry about that. We promise next week we'll be back to our regular standards. All right. Thanks. All right. Welcome back, everybody. So first, as per Chris's request, we're going to start with a moment of silence for Legacy. I don't know how long we went. It was like a minute. No, that's fine.
That's good.
All right. So for anyone who's unfamiliar with Legacy or hasn't really played Legacy or gotten into it, first, that's a shame. It's an awesome format. But more importantly, Star City has announced some changes recently that are cutting a lot of the big support for Legacy. The biggest is the Invitationals. We saw a change last year where the Invitationals started to incorporate. Usually, it's always a split format, and it used to always be Standard and Legacy. Now, we saw, in the past year, we saw some events that were Standard and Modern instead. Yeah. So, yeah, two of each, because there's one each quarter. So, immediately, we were all kind of like, oh, wow, Modern being included is interesting. What is that going to mean? I really thought we were going to see more Modern, but we really saw a huge change where now they've just said no Legacy in the Invitational at all, strictly Standard Modern. So for a lot of competitive players, that was sort of the reason. I mean, me, I can speak out of myself and a few of us, and I'm sure some people we know, that was the reason to get into Legacy. We were starting to earn invites. We were starting to look at invitationals. So clearly we had to play Legacy. Well, now with this being cut out, I mean, that's a big change. That's a big change for Legacy and how much support it's seeing. Some of the other changes, we're seeing less Legacy opens. It looks like about one a quarter. Was that about what the schedule looked like? Yeah, numbers may be off a little. They've only posted a little bit of the year schedule, so we'll see. But it looks like less open support. And then the other big one was Sunday events for opens, where you would usually have, it was a 5K.
Yes.
Now it's a classic instead. And now the prize payout will be a prize wall. If you've ever been to Chuck E. Cheese, you may have seen their prize wall. This is about the same. You got some sleeves. Yeah. Heck yeah. One of those little like sticky hand things. Dope. But if you're a Legacy player, you're not really interested in sticky hand things. Have you guys seen the walls? It's like sleeves, mats.
Play mats.
Can you get boosters? You can get boosters. You can't get singles. So the big thing here, though, is that you're losing cash payout for Legacy events. There's opens and GPs, and I think that's it, right, for cashing for Legacy?
Well, hopefully local.
Yeah. But I mean, as far as like a big tournament scene, those are really your only two options now if you want to cash, which once you're at the point where you have a fully built legacy deck, like, you don't really want booster packs anymore. You don't really want play mats. Yeah, you want some cash to pay off the trip and have a good weekend. You don't, you know, yeah, you're not looking for these, you know, for the sleeves and stuff. So it's kind of a shame. I mean, it's a shame to see this happen to Legacy, and it's going to be interesting to see, like, what this leads us to now. I mean, the loss of the Invitational was pretty big. I mean, gotcha. So for any local players, we'll give a shout out to Comet Kings because they're running some pretty cool Legacy events, allowing proxies. You can buy extras. Other than that, I mean, like, it's really, if you're a new player, or not a new player, but if you're new to Legacy or you're considering Legacy, that's going to be what you have to look towards, is like, what local support do you have? Because, I mean, I think Star City has pretty much dictated here that they're not really as interested in supporting Legacy anymore. For people who aren't familiar with the background of it, like, Legacy was already kind of dying before, and then Star City breathed some life into it. Oh, geez, choking that out. But yeah, so that really brought the support out again. I mean, you saw it on camera more, and then now over the last year, you've seen it on camera less, and now with these announcements, like, it's a pretty tough blow.
Because that was the big thing, is after you'd watch whatever open, they'd immediately start finishing up the Legacy stream, and then that went away, and... Like, I enjoyed watching it because that's where you're going to see some truly unique interactions. That's where you're going to see some powerful card plays off just normal cards.
Yeah, that's like last week we covered in Modern, you know, a small mistake can end a game. In Legacy, it is even more so. Yeah. But yeah, no, this began back when they went to the 2-day open, because like Chris said, they had the Saturday open, which was generally standard. And then the Sunday open, which was Legacy, and if the standard open was big enough and they ran into rounds on Sunday, then right, they would cut into the Legacy open, but it was always go to that. And once they cut that, you saw a lot of the guys who were constantly playing Legacy say, well, this is it. This is Star City killing Legacy. And it almost seems even more so now.
Yeah, I think we're going to see, I mean, it looks like we're entering the phase where Legacy players continue to play Legacy, but I don't know if we're going to see many new Legacy players going forward. I mean, just to give sort of my personal like experience so far, like I was about halfway to Miracles in Legacy. I'd been able to play at some local tournaments, things like that. But once I heard this, especially with Invitationals, I went ahead and moved my stuff. I mean, I'd already kind of been thinking about it just because it's a lot of expensive cards to have that don't come out of the deck box very often. So, I mean, it's not that I think prices are going to crash overnight or anything crazy like that, but I thought that if I slept on it for 6, 7, 8 months, I might have lost some value there. So I went ahead and moved them into Modern staples. But, I mean, if you have a complete Legacy deck, I probably wouldn't move it, but I would be eyeing the prices, seeing what's going on. With older cards, you usually don't see like a huge overnight change. I mean, there's still collector's value. They're scarce cards. EDH keeps things higher than they should be. That goes for all cards. But you know, so it's not going to be like this flood sale, everything going out of business kind of thing. But keep an eye on it. Be mindful of it, because this could definitely affect prices. I mean, I think demand's going to go down, definitely.
Yeah, we'll have product but no demand, and just an economic state says price has to go down.
Yeah.
Well, I think because there is still a couple Grand Prix each year with it. If you try and play the finance market, you'll see probably two little spikes each year just from the Grand Prix rolling around. And my buddy, he's going to play these duels, so now I have to actually buy them. But other than that, I think you'll see the spikes down, 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 down. Next spike for the next Grand Prix, down, 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 down.
Well, it's funny. You might not even see those spikes, really, because I don't know if people are going to be putting new... I don't know if new players are going to be putting decks together. I think it's going to be people who already have it.
Or enough of a demand to cause a spike.
Yeah.
There's no real need, because I know we've all seen it, the buyouts. So you'll see a card overnight, you know, a $5 card spike to $25. It's a lot of money, you know, to invest to see someone try and force you know, the buyout spike. Yeah, so.
I don't see much price movement happen there. Down a little bit over time, but that would probably be about it. But, I mean, really, though, for legacy scenes, like Alex said, like, it's going to be on local stores, and it's going to probably become sort of a regional format. I mean, it's already kind of in that way, because you'll talk to people in other states, and they're like, yeah, the legacy scene here is great. Our area has always kind of been rough on legacy. I mean, we went out to a legacy event not too long ago, and lots of dredge, which is sort of the cheapest deck in the format, which is to be expected. But when you have low turnout plus a high number of dredge, it makes for a really kind of meh metagame. So, yeah, it was a painful day. I was like, man, this is just not fun. And that was kind of the first strike in the casket of like, all right, I think I'm going to go start piecing this thing out, because if this is the play that I get, I don't know about that. But like we said earlier, like, there are local tournaments out there allowing, I mean, you can proxy the entire 75. I hope no one does it. I hope they at least bring their basic islands and brainstorms, but we'll see. But, you know, it's an interesting idea, and they're basically charging more for your pay-in per the amount of proxies that you have, which is, you know, extra money in the prize pool to kind of help players who are dealing with having to play against these proxies all day. And I mean, you're still always welcome to proxy up legacy decks at home and test it out and give the format a go, because it's sad, because in my mind, like, I don't like there being such a huge price barrier, especially when it's part of sort of the competitive scene with it being in invitationals in the past. But I also don't want to see it go away. So I really hope that we can find a middle ground. I mean, for anyone who doesn't know, the reserve list is kind of what is pushing all of this. It's what's keeping the price so high. And it was basically a promise from Wizards some years ago that to keep the competitive, or to keep the collective side of the game and to keep prices high, we're going to make a list of cards that we'll promise to never reprint. And most notably, you have, you know, the dual lands. There's some of the other legacy staples, but I mean, really, the dual lands are pretty much the biggest one. And that's prevented them from trying to help this price. And then on the flip side, you have Modern, where we have Modern Masters now. We have all the promos recently. I mean, you saw the promo for the new RPTQ is Snapcaster Mage. That's a huge, obvious, like, it's this clear shout out from Wizards that, look, we are supporting this format tons. And we haven't seen support for Legacy like that in years. So, I mean, that's kind of the hard part for Wizards, is like, they don't really have any interest in supporting Legacy because they're not making any money off of Legacy. They're not selling packs. The singles are all already in the secondary markets. They're not really touching those. Whereas Modern, like, they can introduce a card in Standard that warps Modern. Now, all of a sudden, you've got to buy these Standard boosters to get this Modern playable card. I mean, like, the interactions between Standard and Modern, I think, are really interesting, and I think it's going to help Modern. And, I mean, I know you said, yeah, the format does need some work. They need to readjust it and fine-tune it, but I think there's a good product there. I mean, I like Modern a lot. And I think if it's cleaned up a little bit, they can make it a really, really good format, but at the expense of Legacy. I mean, that's the downside. Yeah, at this point, Star City has basically said, look, we're on board with Modern. Like, we're supporting it, you know, out the wazoo now, just like Wizards is. I mean, we're seeing more and more, like, Modern Opens, Modern GPs, and then now Modern at the Invitational. I mean, the biggest thing that surprised me was how fast we went from strictly Standard Legacy Invitationals to Standard Modern strictly. I mean, that took like no time at all. Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe if the small shops push it enough and they realize, hey, even though we don't support it as much, now they're supporting it locally. People are buying cards again, because if someone has the choice between driving 3 to 4 hours to play Modern, or driving, like in your case, you know, 10 minutes to a local store and play a day of Legacy, 9 times out of 10, unless it's a unless we really want to go to that to have that road trip experience, we might just go to that local store and play Legacy for fun that's 10 minutes away.
Yeah, the thing that always kind of blew my mind is, like, anyone who's listening in our area, we have a really good Magic scene. We have tons of good players. We have tons of shops. We very rarely see, like, under attendance at tournaments. So it's kind of shocking that we don't have more of a Legacy scene, to be honest. But, you know, I mean, it's tough. It is an expensive format. And I think most people, I would be willing to bet, most people that play Legacy bought in when it was much cheaper, or they had the cards, or they only needed a few, or things like that. Because, I mean, really, again, for people who are newer to the game, like, these legacy lands, the dual lands, they weren't always these insane $250, $300 cards. I mean, only a few years ago, they were much cheaper. So, I mean, and it really kind of was. That's what I'm waiting to see. Was the price spikes on those cards tied to Star City Games support increasing? That's kind of what I'm wondering. It would be interesting to look at price in relation to Star City Games support when it was on the upswing to see kind of what we should expect for the downswing.
Right. Or even the upswing of modern.
But, yeah. I mean, we talked about it on the last episode, buying into modern. I think the argument's even stronger now. Like, get your modern cards. Like, this, it's here to stay, it looks like. So, next modern season is going to be scary price-wise. Yeah. Get your modern singles now. Start working on, figure out what you're going to play and start trading into it or buying into it. Because, yeah, I think we're going to be seeing a pretty expensive modern season next year when that comes back around. I know that I'm trying to solidify my lists and everything now just to be ready. Because, yeah, it's going to get insane. I mean, Modern's a fun format, and I mean, it's as there's always going to be demand for sort of the standard and then the other format. It was Legacy for a long time, now it's becoming Modern. And I mean, Modern was crazy last year, and it's been on the growth like every single year since it's been, you know, conceived. Yeah, I think we've seen out of the last few sets, and this may be the entire history of Modern, but has every set or at least every block contributed some to Modern? Because I know now we're seeing Master of Waves in Merfolk. Right. The new Origins Merfolk has been a four of in the deck now.
Harbinger of Tides.
Yeah. I mean, we're seeing like Siege Rhino stuck into Modern really well. Yeah. The new Gideon and Jace have been popping up in lists. Gideon I've seen in like some black and white tokens builds, things like that.
Yeah. Scapeshift picked up some of the new lands.
Bring to Light also.
Yeah, Bring to Light. Yeah, yeah. So... yeah, I mean, it. Plus, I think, like, the detach between Legacy and Standard is huge. Like, Standard cards look stupid compared to Legacy cards. Legacy cards are so much more powerful that I don't think you would ever see... I mean, it would be rare to see something printed in Standard that you would go, wow, this is a Legacy card. It's happened, but, I mean, it's few and far between. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, and I mean, it makes sense, yeah. But I mean, like, you don't see it nearly as often because, yeah, it's just...
It's like one card here or there. Like, Miracles, people have played with the Miracles 2.0 with the Mentor.
Yeah, Monastery.
But, like, it was that one card that upgraded that one deck. And
it's not even a main deck. It's
yeah.
Far, yeah. Yeah, so it's not like this substantial change. Yeah, so, I mean, I think that that's another thing that's sort of feeding Modern and, like, Wizards likes formats that change. I mean, it's obvious. That's why they get money. So Legacy, like a lot of people like Legacy because it is so consistent. I mean, you can bet on seeing the same decks every week. I mean, and there is something nice about that. But yeah, from a business standpoint. Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, Standard, you're looking at a new 75 most rotations. Some things carry over. Modern, you're still looking at like, not huge substantial changes, but maybe 4-8 cards join the team and 4-8 go out. I mean, which is pretty significant. Reconfigure your deck. Yeah, you have to get rid of repeals and switch to Terminate, you know, whatever. Yeah. Grixis. Yeah, Grixis is everywhere now since that. I mean, it's a solid value card. Yeah, so, I mean, I think that makes Modern a little bit more interesting. I do think that they need to clean up Modern, but, and when we say clean up Modern, it's just talking about what sets are included. There's been a lot of suggestions of chopping off a few of the earlier sets just to get some of the more oppressive cards out, but
it makes for more.
Yep.
Yeah. Like I said, Modern could use some work, but I think now that it's under the spotlight, it might be getting it soon. I mean, so we'll see. And it definitely, there's a big commitment to it for most companies, so it'll be cool to see. Yep, so, I mean, we're pretty much getting towards the end here. We're closing out. Do you guys have any last thoughts on Legacy? This may be the last time we talk of it ever.
Nah, I'm
just kidding. No, definitely not.
No.
It's taking a beating right now, but hopefully maybe it rebounds.
That's what I'm hoping. I'm hoping it's almost like a couple-year thing they do. Just
a brief hiatus kind of thing.
Let prices go down. People pick up some more cards and research, because I mean, it's a fun format. If you haven't seen what you can do in Legacy, because it hasn't been streamed in a while, the first chance you get, go and watch some of these interactions, because it's really fun. And you're like, yeah, I want to break the rules like that. Or if you're like Bobby and you like miracles, I want to grind you out until you want to gouge out your eye with a spoon.
Yeah. I mean, if you're unfamiliar with Legacy, hop on YouTube, look up miracles, look up elves, look up Delver decks. I mean,
Infect
is pretty insane. Turn two win. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Geez. Go check out a Delver mirror match where you can see right. such crazy board states as turn three, one Delver on the board, no right. lands, nothing else. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Between Dazes and Wastelands. Yeah. Where'd all the lands go? But yeah, no. So, I mean, Legacy, it's, I don't want to be all gloom and doom here because it definitely, I mean, it's been around forever. It's not going to go away overnight. But if you're a competitive player and that's what you're looking for is the competitive side of it, now's not the time to get into Legacy. Pick up some stuff, maybe give it a few months, see if it comes down. Pick it up if you're truly interested, but without invitationals now and without some of these bigger tournaments being Legacy, like I can't really say it's a real viable thing to do competitively. Yeah. All right, guys. Well, that'll do it for us this week. Always remember to, what you got, Rob? Rob's got a note for us. We got editor's note. We had a poll up about a week or two ago for a deck tech ideas, kind of submissions, choose a standard deck that we would cover.
Choose your own adventure.
Yeah, choose your own adventure. Well, that adventure did not go off, but the good news is the adventure continues. So yeah. We're going to have another poll go up shortly. And post on there. I think maybe we'll do a blank box too, so they can suggest something that's not on the list if they want.
We can try.
Yeah, one of the options will be other and just provide feedback.
Okay. Yeah, so we're going to have like a list of standard decks. You can pick one that you would like to see a deck tech on. I mean, basically, we're going to cover it on the cast. Now, we are looking to doing video in the future. We are currently sitting beneath a PVC construct that holds a video camera. Yeah, our own little octagon here. But it's definitely a work in progress. We kind of got set back by the audio situation, so we had to turn back to that and get that squared away. But now that's good to go. So we'll set our sights back on getting some video content shortly. So in the future, we'll be doing like some more like game sessions where we can give our thoughts on the deck and kind of walk you through lines of play and stuff like that. We're pretty excited to do that, but you know, it's going to take a little bit of time. Other than that, please, as always, check out our Facebook page. It's at /thesnapcast.
Oh, snap.
I think at this point you can actually just like type in the Snapcast and we'll be the first one that pops up. We're popular enough now, so that's good news. Also, as always, if you're an MTGcast listener, check us out at www.thesnapcast.com. We've got places for input. We got some deck lists up there. We have a few articles up there. Just check us out, provide feedback as always. We love to hear it. It helps guide us and know that what we do doesn't completely suck. So we appreciate it. All right, guys, have a good week.